Buffalo gal, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Buffalo gal, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?
Well, it's day two in Batavia, New York for Effector's Finger Flicking Frolic, and this is the 43rd?
Yep.
43rd annual convention that we're having here. And before things get kicked off, I thought I might try to corner our chief forker, Obie O'Brien, to talk a little bit about the convention. So, good morning, Obie.
Good morning.
So,
how are you?
Good. Did you get any sleep last night?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I made sure I went to bed at 12:45.
And then you woke up at what time?
3:15.
Okay, so you got a full 2 hours sleep.
But then I got back to sleep, and the wife woke me this morning at 8:10.
Oh, goodness. Well, then getting started then again. So, again, this is the 43rd, and what kind of exciting things have you got this year, people coming in?
Well, we have a great, great lineup. Danny D'Ortizzi last night, he helped out Woody Aragon, and which, you know, they were both on lecture tour, and he did some funny things at the table last night, and they didn't even introduce him because he has his lecture on Friday afternoon. But there's a kid here from South Korea who is really good, who won a FISM prize, and there's two kids from Taiwan who are also FISM winners, and so on. I think there's probably 12 or 14 FISM winners here, and we have about 27 contest winners from around the world. You know, now that's not little small conventions like a one-day convention. Some these are big major conventions like the IBM SAM and TOAM, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And even more specifically, these are close-up guys. I mean, these aren't the stage winners.
No, although I have one of the guys from Taiwan is a stage man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he likes close-up. He started in close-up, but he won in stage, and he's going to do a stage act here.
Who is that?
Oh, now you asked me a funny... His name is Anson, A-N-S-O-N. That's his short name, but I don't want to give you his Taiwan name.
Okay, but he's he had won a stage contest, and so he's going to be doing some close-up or kind of a...
No, he's going to do a stage act.
Stage act, okay, interesting.
It's manipulation.
Okay, yeah, that counts.
Like that last year, Mike Chow was here from Taiwan and did his manipulation act and got a standing ovation.
Right, right. Well, last year, remember also that we had the guy, and you were saying, this guy's going to be the FISM winner, and he was. What's his name?
Yes, I know what you mean. That was 2 years ago.
Fritz Frisch.
Yeah, Jan Frisch.
Jan Frisch, yes, yeah.
He won a Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
We had him before. He won FISM Europe, and then he won a Grand Prix.
Right, right. You always seem to get some of the best guys, you know, who are coming from all around the world. Sometimes they're on lecture tour, and sometimes that they're not. But how do you end up getting all these guys? I mean, this certainly has a prestige.
I do a lot of traveling. I mean, last year alone, I was in Germany. For the German 100th anniversary, I was in France for the French convention. I was in Italy for the Italian close-up mm-hmm. convention. And I was in England twice for Blackpool in February and then at Macmillan's in November. So that's where I see, and I usually judge at one of those. Like in Germany, I judged, and then the French one, I judged. And then Macmillan's in England, I judged. And the one in Italy, I judged. And so... Mm-hmm. When you see them, I give them an invitation to see if they can come.
Some of these guys are performing, obviously, in other countries with their own language. Do they sometimes do it in English?
Yes, a lot of them do it in English, but a lot of them don't speak very well English, so they all do it to music.
Oh, okay.
You're going to see Red Tsai here, a FISM runner, and Red is he goes by Red,
mm-hmm.
and his last name is T-S-A-I. And all his thing is done to music, and he won, I think, second or third at FISM. And he also competed at another one, and I can't remember what he placed there. But
and he was from where?
He's from Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, was it last year, I think, that Shoma had talked about the importance of music.
Yes.
And how that you can do a silent act or just add music to your talking act or whatever, and the importance of how much more of an impact that adds.
That's right, and I always tell when I see somebody that does a real nice close-up back to music, I try to get them here.
Sure.
And for some reason or other, I think United States people, there's a lot of us in the magic business that we know what 4F is, but in Europe, 4F is way up in the clouds, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody know, oh, we go to 4F or in Japan or Asia, you know what I mean?
Right.
They all want to come to 4F
right,
because they heard so much about it.
And pretty much the only way that they from other countries get to come over is by winning a contest, or can they get in the same way like people from the U.S. and Canada, that is, of having sponsors?
Yes, they can, but the thing is, who's going to sponsor them over there? The only ones that I sponsor are from Europe or from Asia or from South America, mm-hmm. and Joan Caesar, because she goes to the same thing and judges too.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to Taiwan, the both of us here, to judge in the end of May, mm-hmm. and so we'll probably see another few from Korea or Taiwan or from Japan that are going to compete there for their championship.
Right.
And then I think Joan goes again in August to South Korea. She's judging there with Domenico Dante and Garrett Bregman, the two FISM people that run FISM.
Have you ever gone to a convention and seen someone who would win, but you feel like they still aren't the same, the quality of performer that you want to have here?
No.
Not at those conventions, because once they get to that level, they're pretty darn good.
Yes.
Probably wouldn't be competing.
Yeah, but there's some bad ones. In McMillan's, okay, McMillan's used to be where you get all the good ones in November.
Mm-hmm. And they came from all over the world to McMillan's, too.
Yes.
It wasn't just English.
No, it was international.
Right, right.
And that's where I met all the guys from Germany.
Oh,
all the Flicking Fingers and stuff like that. Thomas Fraps and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Pitt Hartling.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. That's where I met him. And I met a few guys from Italy, the same thing. And then when I went to Italy this year, there's, I think, three or four new ones from Italy that were in the contest at mm-hmm. Giacomo Bertini's convention. He started it off the first 2 years as a coin convention, and this past year he made it a close-up convention.
Now, we do have a lot of people from other countries. Do you have kind of in your mind about the numbers or the how many countries are represented here this year?
16 countries, 5 continents, 17 from Canada, 13 from France, 9 from England, 7 from Italy and Japan, 6 from Spain, 4 from Germany, 2 each from China and Taiwan, 1 from Australia, South Korea, Scotland, Sweden, Switzerland, Wales, 154 from the United States. So,
yeah.
And there's contest winners, there's about 40 of them, as it says right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's 9 IBM presidents and 9 SAM presidents here. Past presidents, I should say.
Yeah, they're not all the same year.
Yeah.
So this is the 43rd year. I noticed that you and Tom Craven are the only two guys, obviously, who've been to everyone.
Correct.
With Ed Eckel and Mike Hilberger and John McLaughlin being the coming to 41 of these. So.
Yep.
And just real quick genesis of this, so this way people know what the 4F is, a Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic that was named after Eddie Fechter that was at the Forks Hotel.
Correct.
And that he had originally just had you guys together, or how did it first get formed?
Eddie was working at a NICAN convention, was in Niagara Falls, and he was doing close-up, and he was out there on close-up, and he stayed over on a Friday night, and we were sitting at the table having a drink. And Eddie says, you know, we should have a convention for the close-up guys. I said, that's a good idea. And Billy Ockel was there, and I said, well, I know enough guys because I've been going to IBM conventions. I said, I'll send out the letters, but I don't have anybody to type them up and write the letter and so on. So Bill Ockel says, well, you write the letter. I'll type it up. I'll get the envelopes. You get the stamps. So you send them out. And Eddie says, okay, we'll have it at my place. We charged $10 for the first time, and we fed you on Friday night fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it started. And then Ockel dropped out, and then Eddie died, and I just kept it going.
Yeah.
Eddie died in 1979, and so I kept it going from 1979.
And originally that you had put like a little one-inch ad, I think, in the Linking Ring or something, inviting anybody who wanted to come.
That was only in the beginning before I had... Because Bruce Poskate, who was a past president of the IBM,
mm-hmm.
said, oh, he said, you're going to have to limit it somehow, and some people are going to be ticked off at you because they can't come.
Sure.
So I only put a little ad in once, and then after that, We could only hold 100 upstairs in Eddie's room, but really we had 125 or so, because Eddie, everybody that worked at the Forks Hotel on Fridays and Saturdays and all the weekend, Eddie would spring their, he'd pay for their registration. And so we usually have, and then I kept 10 to 15 places open for professionals like Max Maven or Copperfield or something like that, you know what I mean? Jay Marshall was in on that, and he, you know, I back then, Jay might call me up on the Friday before we started, the week of the next week, and say, I can come, can I come? And he said, oh yeah, you know, and Max Maven might call me up and say, oh, I can come too, can I come? I said, well, I'm not going to turn those guys down.
Sure, exactly. Well, coming to that then, and to kind of wrap up that, for those who might be interested or want to come, what would you say or be advice?
Well, the best thing to do is be get in a contest at the IBM, the SAM, the TOAM, or some big convention like that. And if you win that, then get two sponsors. I'm very hard on sponsors to make sure that the guys are sponsors, because we had one time a magic dealer sponsored a guy who was not really qualified to come, but he bought, you know,
a lot of stuff,
over $1,000 from him.
Oh, okay.
And the dealer sort of felt that he had to
sponsor him.
And at the end of the convention, I had to send him a letter and say, I'm very sorry. Next time you come, you'll have to send me a DVD so I can have a look at it and see if you've improved. And I have three guys at the convention every year here that I go to, and they tell me if there's anybody that is not very good to be here.
Right. But again, basically you have to have two people who would write a letter to you.
Write a letter, or send me an email, or call me on the phone and say, I'd like to sponsor such and such. Okay, and then if something goes wrong with them too, then those two guys that sponsored them don't get to sponsor anybody else again.
Yeah, they get put on the list.
Yes.
Okay. So these guys then, it can't be just where someone says, hey, I really want to come, and you have to have these people who sponsor you who have already attended here before. So
correct.
The sponsors shouldn't be someone who are just your friends. They have to be actual attendees or a previous attendee of this.
Correct. I usually tell the guys when they come here, don't say, I'm going to sponsor my buddy because you're a buddy.
Right.
Because if his magic is not up to snuff, you know what I mean? You don't have to be really do something impossible and stuff like that.
But right.
The thing is, you got to be able to entertain, and you got to be able to do good magic.
Right, right. Not just
not
something that you bought.
Not SpongeBalls or Professor's Nightmare or something like that.
Right, right. As far as a waiting list goes, I mean, what is the possibility of somebody actually getting in then, even if they do get a couple of sponsors?
Like this year, I think there were about 27 or 28 people on the waiting list. I usually, on the waiting list, I take the ones from Europe and from Japan and from South America first, okay, and from the United States and Canada, I have maybe 10 or 12 that I take. This year, I didn't turn down anybody because most of the ones who were on the waiting list came from from Italy, from England, and from Taiwan, and from Korea, and things like that. So anybody that, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. But in the United States, people, everybody goes on a waiting list. Doesn't matter where they come from. And then in January, I usually send a little email to them and say, okay, you're cleared to come.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so.
Good. Well, we thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks also,
Scotty, nice talking to you.
But also for putting us on. You always do a great job.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And your Board of Governors. So that was Obie O'Brien, the chief forker from the Forks Hotel. Here we are. So for now, Scotty out. So we just finished up over here at dinners at Alex's. Again, this is the second day of the 4F convention, of the 12-day convention, it seems like. Goodness. And it is Magic and Martini Thursday night. So I'm joined here with Don Weiberg, Jeff Williams, Peter McLonican, and, of course, Peter Prezecki. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Patrick. I say Peter. I say,
that's my brother.
Remember earlier when I was saying this was Martin.
Martini. Martini. Magic of Martini.
Okay.
So that's right. Sorry, Patrick. It's Patrick with two T's. Patrick. Now, tell me, was that actually your real name on your birth certificate? I mean, did you actually, is it actually Patrick with two T's, or did you add that kind of
expectation? Yeah, add one T and drop the last name. So add one letter and drop 10.
Why didn't you change the Brzezinski part? It'd be easier to spell. You
know? My uncle did it. We didn't like it. So. He did. So.
But it makes it easier, because Don said, didn't you say, Don, earlier, there was somebody that was like the SKI, there was somebody who said you knew somebody that was...
This is the inspector from Owens Corning.
All righty, so there we
came out to our townhome project.
Thank you very much. Have a nice
I got talking to him, Toledo, and I did a trick for him.
Ed Shibuleski.
I don't know his name, but he was an independent inspector. But he said, oh, wait a minute, my wife, my therapist or my wife's physical therapist husband does magic, and it was you.
Small world.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's exciting. Glad you brought it up.
Yes, I did. Well, got like a hairball. Got to get rid of those, you know. Speaking of hairball, so you shave your head now. Is that right?
I have it professionally thinned. That is correct.
Yeah. It's a condition, really.
It's
a conditioner you use.
The amount of hair products that I have is staggering. So
you're talking about in your wife's bathroom?
No, I have to check luggage wherever I go, and I'm including just driving across town.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're actually putting on eyebrow makeup and all this?
A lot.
Jason's glaucoma.
Yeah.
Okay. To a high luster, to a high sheen.
Correct.
Now,
yes.
When you're on stage, you ever put makeup on your face? Do you use makeup as well as your head? I mean, do you keep a sheen?
It's going to depend on the lights. If they have colored lighting, then I would.
You do sometimes?
Yeah. Because the colored lighting
really
can make you look really yellow or crazy looking. Yeah, so you'd have to do that.
Jaundice or something. So you got to put it like on your whole head.
Anyone I know
yeah.
deserve.
And it's a lot easier than just actually getting jaundice.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I use.
Saves you a trip to the hospital a lot cheaper.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we live?
What's that?
Are we live?
We could be.
Oh, no, Don, the podcast hasn't started yet.
So tell me then, also, Jeff, you're going to be working at some conventions this year. Tell me where you're going.
Yes. Oh, I'm looking forward to going to Abbott's the first week.
76.
Yeah. It's going to be wonderful fun. So that'll be my first time there. So that's going
to
be.
You've never been to Abbott's?
Never been to Abbott's.
Hey,
no.
Downtown at the hotel is really good.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The whole downtown
the
hotel.
Main
is
hotel.
Great. Be
okay.
Sure to take the bus.
At the end of the block hotel.
Awesome. Hey, yeah. I'm looking forward to
the
big
trolley.
Hotel.
Take the trolley.
Next to Curly's.
Big hotel. I've got other people making reservations for me.
Tell them. What a surprise.
Okay, Curly.
So I'm looking forward to that. I've got a Penguin Live lecture on July 21st.
Okay.
So everyone in the world can tune in on that one.
Well, they're
which
doing
is kind
that.
Of fun.
Now, is that on a Sunday night, or when is that?
That's a Sunday. Yep, Sunday. I think it's 4 o'clock Central Time or something like that.
I'm
not sure exactly when, but yeah, the people who do Penguin, go to penguinmagic.com and they've got.
Is that 2 hours? How long is that lecture?
It could be anything from 2 to 16 hours.
Now, will there be people that will be in the studio when you're doing this, or just you and a camera?
No, as I understand it, there's going to be a small studio audience. We'll have a host who may or may not be Nathan Kranzo.
Yeah.
He's been doing them lately, but not sure if he's doing mine or not. And then we've got internet people who will be able to ask questions in real time and weigh
in. Will calling in or texting in? Or how's that work? Actually?
Yeah, I believe it's all texting in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's calling necessarily.
So just somebody's looking on the computer and just seeing that.
Yep. So we can have people from Russia, Peru, and Des Moines.
Now, what kind of stuff would you all around the world, including Des Moines? So what kind of things would be close-up stage, mentalism,
well,
cabaret?
Yeah.
No comedy, I assume.
I'm going to be talking a lot about comedy because that's kind of where I'm at. We're going to be talking about practical stuff that people will be able to add to their repertoire or make what they're doing easier. Talking about everything from memorizing cards to being able to find a secret locator without being able to look at the cards.
Give me a little snippet. Give me an idea of something. What are you going to teach? Give me like one little gem.
I'm actually going to teach people how to install a breather crimp into their deck that they can feel. So when they cut to the breather crimp, they do not need to look at their hands to know that they've done it.
Right.
That's an extremely valuable thing.
And that's going to be something that you can actually put in during the presentation. You could have a borrowed deck and you could put a breather in.
No, not necessarily. No, this is something you might do to your own car.
Beforehand.
You could do it. Yeah, you could do it more impromptu, but it does take a little bit of time and you don't want people watching you. So
I don't know. The first time I saw that done, Bob King was here at the 4F convention, in fact. He was talking about how humid it was, and he would, you know, take this card out and he would just, like, oh man, you could just wipe the sweat, you know, the perspiration out of these cards. And he was, as he was doing it, it's like, okay, it made perfect sense. Like, you know, it's humid, you know, trying to, you know, get the water out of the card. And then he put the card back in the deck. I had no idea what he was doing. And then later, just fooling the heck out of us. Then yeah. later found out, oh, that's a breather, and he was putting it in right then.
You know? Oh, there's some amazing stuff you can do with it. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, really nice.
So Abbott's and then Penguin on July the something?
21st.
21st, okay.
Yep.
And anything else?
Yeah,
traveling?
Well, there's a little Tampa Magic Fest in Tampa, Florida. It's going to be in the latter part of June. Also, in the early part of June, I'm going to do a small Canadian tour.
Yeah.
For small Canadians? Or
for small, just, yeah. Yeah, actually, midgets from Winnipeg.
Yeah. Oh,
we're calling little people now.
Right.
Minipeg?
Well, you know.
Winnipeg.
Anyway, yeah, you just alienated everyone, Don. Way to go.
Like
to apologize to our neighbors to the north. No, it's going to be Winnipeg, Calgary, and Vancouver, as well as Seattle, Portland, and Eugene, Oregon in the U.S. So it's a small tour.
In August.
Yep. No. This is June. And then September, I go to England. So I've got some shows and lectures scheduled there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be at the Magic Circle. And then I'm going to Spain in October. And then I come home.
We talked a little bit earlier about the interpreting in foreign languages when that you're in Spain. You got Spanish.
We'll send the shuttle.
That you're going to. What is it like? I mean, whenever you're going to be having.
It's kind of strange because as a comedy magician, I'll say a line, half of the audience will laugh, the audience, you know, the part that understands English,
right,
they'll interpret, and then the other group will laugh, the rest of the people. So it's
right.
Kind of iffy as to when you do the move, if
right.
The move is covered by the laugh. So but I love it. I still do. It's just great.
Let me ask over here then to Peter McLaughlin. McLaughlin.
Sorry,
McLaughlin. You're from Glasgow, home of Roy Walton and Peter McLaughlin. And this is your third or second?
Fourth
4F convention.
Yeah.
What makes you keep coming back?
The whole camaraderie of it all.
We've got David Corsaro to sit down here with us.
Yeah.
Hey, David.
Hey, David.
It's all right.
So this morning, yeah. The whole... the whole thing of just everybody getting together and meeting up with a common interest, primarily close-up magic.
Yeah.
I love general conventions, but everybody sort of goes in groups off and with their friends that deal with that sort of magic.
That's right.
So all the kids magicians group together and all the stage magicians group together. Here, everybody groups with everybody.
Yeah.
Because we all love close-up in its various forms. You don't get all the card guys sitting with all the card guys. You don't get all the coin guys sitting with all the coin guys.
True.
You get coin guys sitting with rubber band guys, sitting with coin guys, sitting with dollar bill guys.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I don't think I've ever seen a clique.
Yeah.
Apart from the backstage boys, but we won't talk about them.
But it is all part of the general close-up genre of magic, I guess, you know, that basically is. But what I think is interesting is how we've got some stage guys here. I mean, like today was George Satirio.
Yes.
You know, he's had Ice McDonald, of course, Rick Wilcox, a few guys who are known, you know, Murray Hatfield was here, guys who are known as being stage guys, and yet, you know, they've got some close-up chops also.
I'm usually known for most of my Grand Illusion stuff, more on like Siegfried and Harari or whatever their names were. I do that a lot.
Very much, yes.
Yeah.
And with the wild animals in particular, it's like your specialty, or are you just prefer the domestic?
You know, I'll eat anything.
Or chicken.
If it's prepared properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you like it grilled or fried?
I prefer them deep fried. I am Scottish.
Irene Larson, I want to apologize right now.
He's no member of PETA.
No.
People eating tasty animals.
That's right.
I'm writing that one. Excuse me.
Ouch. So, you actually had come over then, Peter, from Scotland for this and going back. You're not on a lecture tour. You're not performing. I mean, this is all money out of pocket just for you because you love it.
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday.
For me, this is a vacation.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, I've done a couple of lectures in the States and then done Fecker. This year, I thought, I'm having the year off.
Right.
And as it is, I'm not even performing at the convention, which is great. So I really do have a year of relaxing and enjoying the magic and not thinking, oh, heck, I've got to perform at whatever time.
Right.
You know, I can get back, I can relax, I can watch great magic, I can hang out with some brilliant friends and learn a lot from that. I sat and scribbled notes during Akira Fuji's lecture today.
Yeah.
And back up in the room, I was making sure I could reread them.
Yeah.
And there's... He was teaching some wonderful stuff today.
That's what I was going to ask you, both of you guys, about what you got out of it or who you really enjoyed so far. I mean, heck, we're only into the... I guess, really, we just completed the first 24 hours of the convention as of right now. And so we still got a whole heck of a lot more to go. But what have you been kind of getting out of it so far?
For me, it was Akira Fuji. He admitted it wasn't his. Unfortunately, I cannot remember the name of the person who gave him the idea, the move. But he had a wonderful thing for Three Card Monty that was in the hands that caught everybody in the room.
Oh, yes, right. It was good.
That little Three Card Monty moment was beautiful.
When he turned the card over, he switched out a card?
He switched the card. And it was the most natural action for that style of move I've seen. It was just perfect. I really liked that. That's straight in the notebook. Although I'm going to have a word with him later on as to exactly who it was who came up with it. So I can have that credit in the notebook.
Right.
I'm on record.
You keep notes on that. I do the same thing. I've been keeping this for years and years and years that I have a little spiral notebook when I'm here and I jot pictures and I take down notes and everything. So you do the same thing then, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. I've got quite a few notes on my computer at home from a variety of things. Like the Vepro switch that David Stone taught recently in one of his lectures. I just thought it was brilliant, and I made sure that I got with him afterwards and got the correct spelling and all. I think it's important that we credit. I think it's important that we know where things come from, the history of the moves and things that we do, because, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of these people who are really smart and important, you know, to our art. And if we should, heaven forbid, you know, leave off a credit or something, we're basically saying that wasn't significant enough to remember, and that's completely wrong. If ever I come up with a move or something, I want people, you know, 100 years from now to be crediting me, whether or not they've modified it and made it better or not. I think it's important.
I can't remember exactly who said, along the lines of what I'm about to say, it might have been Max Maiden, but the phrase was, if we don't give credit to those that have inspired us, who's going to give credit to us if we inspire them?
Oh, well, good point. I see what you're saying.
I think it was Max that said it. I'm probably wrong.
I want to give credit to the right person there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm also a firm believer. I say this in my lectures. I'm a firm believer of credit where credit is due.
Right.
For that simple reason.
I think it's important for those who follow us. As for our audiences, they don't care.
Audiences don't care. But within magic,
right?
If somebody is, you know, if you perform the routine that belongs to somebody else, it was created by somebody else, and somebody walks up to you and says, whose effect is that? Where can I find it? Well, tell them whose it is. Tell them what book it's in. Don't teach them it. Allow them to do the legwork, but give the credit. And allow them to do some homework of their own.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to cast pearls before swine. I mean, they're really not going to care necessarily. And I don't mean that in a necessarily derogatory fashion, but sometimes it's true that if you give somebody some, oh, okay, it doesn't mean as much then as if that they invest time, sweat, and tears, you know, and money, you know.
Too many people, and I've had this happen to me in the past at home, I learned how to do the Leonard Green angle separation. And it took me a little while to get it. I got it. And I used to use it. I still do it from time to time. And one time at a convention at home, I'd done an effect that involved ankle separation.
Right.
And I got asked, how did you do that? And I said, well, it's Leonard Green's, and it's his angle separation, and you can get it on this VHS tape. That's how long ago this was. And the person says, well, could you teach me it? And I said, well, no, it's not mine to teach. To which his reply was, oh, but why not? I'm a magician too.
Okay.
Yeah. That doesn't mean to say that all the work that I've put into learning that move is going to go to pot just because you're a magician and you want to learn the trick.
That's true. Yeah, I think it is up to the person who has come up with that move to share that if they want. And if you have learned that from a lecture you've attended or book you read, that it should go back to that person. I'm thinking back to Roger Klaus and several others I've heard during their lectures. You know, they'd show like a half move or some little thing, and they'll say, I took 20 years of my life, you know, to learn that. And then so there was another 10 years, you know, or whatever. And then, you know, once the three of us have come up and done the same kind of thing, we put, you know, a lot of time and effort into something, you keep fine-tuning and tweaking something, it's like, okay, then finally it twists and you realize that this actually works. And then if you elect to share that with others, or particularly in a lecture, you know, then suddenly, you know, you've kind of given it out and you have cheapened it to a degree by just giving it away. But on the other hand, I think that as long as somebody will let your legacy live by saying that was from Roger Klaus or from Peter McLeod or whomever, you know, then it's good, because you shouldn't be keeping some things to yourselves. Because, again, like you said, Jeff, I think that things have to grow based upon something else. I mean, this is an ever-evolving type of an art. And that's what art is. I think, you know, you look at paintings and the way that it started, you know, cave dwellings and one thing and another, you know, that going to abstract. And it just to where we are today, in terms, I'm just referring to that, like in terms of paintings and art, but same thing like with magic, although that, yeah, you're doing linking rings, but to see somebody else do a routine completely different from all these other ways they've been done in the past, I think that it's important that you share some of these little bits of business that others can build on to say, yep, I can take that, and if I do this, I can add this, or maybe if I put a presentation, and that error through brainstorming, I just think it becomes a much better and more beautiful thing.
I agree.
So that was me just preaching over there for a minute. I really didn't ask a question.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right. Anyhow, any last words to say? We probably need to wrap up, because I'd probably like to see somebody else at this table and make some money and turn this thing.
Yeah, and we'll need to get along for the birthday.
That's right. We got to get back to, to get a while here. We got to get back to Bogazzi, because tonight's Steve's night, I guess. So yes. He's going to be giving his lecture and all that. So I have asked you before, Jeff, and let me ask you, Peter. This name of my podcast called The Magic Word. So what is your magic word?
In regards to what? Anything within magic?
Could be anything. Not necessarily magic. Could be, you know, in life, your philosophy of life, your who you are, what's important to you. It could be a word or a phrase or a philosophy.
Smile.
Smile. Never heard that one. That's a good one.
Smile.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say isoxaphenoxybelly effects on the eczanol.
You said that last time.
I know, but I like smile better.
It's so much shorter.
It's easier to spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you smile, the buggers don't know if
what you're up to
or not.
Okay, that's it from Alex. It's right now. We're going to head back over then to the hotel. So thanks a lot, Jeff. Thanks, Peter.
Okay.
For the Magic Word Podcast.com, this is Scotty out. Oh, Buffalo Gal, won't you come out tonight and come out tonight? Oh, come out tonight. Buffalo Gal, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?